Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another random part of my house as I try to figure out the best lighting for the show. I'm sure I'm going to move around a lot. Also, I've said this before, my back just kills me, so I have to get up and walk around. Please tell me I'm not the only one who's like geriatric at the age of 30-something. I'm not going to tell you what, 30-something? 30-something. So today we're going to talk about how long should onboarding last? It's the age-old question. And if you Google it, you'll see all these blogs that claim to have polled all these HR industry experts. And it's like, on average, onboarding should take 2 to 3 months, 2 to 3 weeks. And it's like, what? What are you basing this off of? Everyone's in a different industry, different CEO, different growth targets, different company sizes of varying of like one employee to 10,000. How can you possibly say on average, you know, that's like saying, how long does it take to make dinner? Well, I need more information. Are you making macaroni and cheese for your kids? Because that takes about 7 minutes. Are you making the average weeknight dinner for a family of four? That's going to take about 15 to 20 minutes. Are you making a Thanksgiving feast for 30 of your friends? That's going to take 4 to 8 hours. So if you're guilty of Googling, how long should onboarding take just to get a benchmark? Don't worry, I've done that too. But the answer is actually in your control to go find. And no one's going to be able to tell you online. No mentor of yours is going to be like, 2 weeks. They might, but like you can listen and like keep that in mind. But it's on you to go figure it out for yourself, because there is a very specific answer that works for your company. And the way to do that is to survey your new hires. So I say this a lot when it comes to solving for disengagement, but now for this episode, figuring out how long onboarding should last, your surveys should always have a goal. Don't ever just send surveys and be like, I don't know why I'm sending this. I just know I should be sending it. And then that's how nothing happens with the data and employees stop trusting the process and they stop taking them. So this is a good chance to take one of those first impression points for a new hire. You know, they just went through your recruiting process. They hopefully had a good experience. If they didn't, listen to my 2023 Feel Good episode. I have all these tips to make a better 2023 for your candidates, and it involves not putting them through interview hell. But they just went through your interview process. Now their time has come to onboard. So this is one of the remaining critical first impression moments for you to set them up to be an engaged employee, not a disengaged employee. Bad onboarding happens. In fact, sometimes onboarding doesn't happen at a lot of companies. So if you have an onboarding program in place, good. If you don't, let's get one into place. I'll do a different episode on that. But even if you know in your heart of hearts, like most of us do, you're like, oh my God, our onboarding sucks. And I know it. And I just want to just push people through it and move on and just hope that they make friends and they enjoy their boss enough to just forget about it. No. Slap yourself on the wrist. Because onboarding is such a critical driver of early engagement, it has to be optimized all the time. So you're setting the precedent with your new hires, like, hey, we're a feedback-driven company. We are a people-first company. So you're going to see some surveys come through for me now as you're onboarding and all the way through your time with us at X Company. And I want you to know that I use these surveys to help deliver a better onboarding experience or optimize our employee experience. So I hope you feel safe and comfortable to give honest answers, even if it's negative feedback, because I use that to help us get better as a company. Don't send surveys without telling them the why. You could even paint a little bit of a negative picture and be like, I want to know what took too long, what went too fast, when did you feel lost, what was missing, so that you're not like, hey, I'm going to send you a survey. Good luck with onboarding. And they're like, oh, this nice HR person, I don't want to stomp all over their hopes and dreams. Paint it in a way that's like, you know, there's going to be negative feedback and you need it and you're expecting it. That way they don't feel as uncomfortable to say what they mean and be candid. It's human nature to want to protect yourself and protect your assets and make sure you're safe. So asking a new hire to be honest and critical about your onboarding program that they think is your baby, because it is hard for them. It makes them uncomfortable too. So just fostering that trust early, like, Yeah, you're going to get a survey. I read those, but I need you to really get to the root of what it was like to onboard with us, because you're going to make it better for the people who come after you, and they're going to make it better for the people who come after them. Pingboard is the company that brings you this show. We have a surveys feature that is lovely, and it has an onboarding template that you can schedule. So let's talk about how cool that is really quick. A lot of you in HR tell me that you lose so much time due to lack of automation. I don't think it's realistic for you all to be operating off of checklists anymore and manually remembering or setting reminders for yourself in your calendar or wherever you're doing it, because you're going to overwhelm your calendar if you do it this way. Like, this person started on this day and this person needs this, and it kicks off a workflow that's kind of manual for you. You guys are like task rabbits, but in a bad way. That's not how you should be spending your time or energy. Anywhere you can automate something is a very good thing. So in Pingboard, you can schedule these surveys to go out. You can also schedule your engagement surveys and your pulse surveys or whatever survey you're sending. You don't need to do this stuff in real time, and you don't need to remember to do it. You just need to kick off the first step. If you're using Pingboard, you add in their emails and you pick your questions if you want to change them or ask something more specific, and then it goes out. It even reminds them to take it if they haven't taken it yet. So you're not like, oh my gosh, it's week two, I got to send out my survey, da, 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 da. I didn't get any participation, I guess I have to go get into Slack and tell all of them. Like, no, you don't have to do it that way. Also, you're wasting so much time and energy, and your skill set is the connection and the people and making sure everyone is having a good experience at your company. And if you're just like in Google Sheet land and checklist land, you're no wonder you're burned out. You need the space to think creatively so that your superpowers can flow. I think HR is a superpower. Let me just say, no role other than the CEO is asked to do so much. And it's why sometimes onboarding isn't great, and you know it, and you feel bad about it because you're a good person and you want your new hires to have a good time and to feel like they had a good experience and they were set up for success. But you're also worried about payroll and compliance and recruiting and making sure that the benefits have been picked and someone needs a tax code for this other new employee that's starting and you haven't had lunch yet. Like, my God, it's exhausting. So automation is really big for you this year. How are you going to automate some of your systems? Pingboard can help you do this. Okay, back to how long should onboarding last? So my recommendation to get the data you need is to survey new employees at the end of the first day. And you know what you can do just to kind of kick things off in an almost kindergarten way, but you're still getting data. It's kind of like EMPS. It's like one quick question, like, how you doing? Ask them, did you have fun today? Or ask them, did today go how you thought it would? And give them a slider scale. Always add an open-ended response at the end that says, anything else you'd like to add? That's where you're going to get the raw data, the information that's more specific about how they feel. So, or what's wrong, or explains their answer a little bit more. But survey them at the end of the first day, because then they maybe were drinking from a fire hose or were doing their paperwork, but then it's like delightful to get one of the Pingboard surveys or whatever tool you're using to be like, okay, the day's over. How did it go? Yeah, I kind of had fun today. I don't know. I'll give it a 6 out of 10. You know, maybe your first impression was off, or maybe there's too much going on in the first day. So your next surveys, though, will give you even more information about what to fix. And you should see that score improve over time, that first day. Hey, did you have fun today? So I think you should survey your employees at the end of every day in the first week. And you can ask them different questions. So the way I see surveys done best is to ask a very simple question. Don't complicate it. Don't say like a double negative. Don't make this long run-on sentence with buzzwords. Think about how you would talk to someone to the level of a fifth grader, because they're tired, they're exhausted, they're learning so much. A simple question with a slider scale and an open-ended response. So on the first day, the question can be vague. Like I just said, did you have fun today? They probably can't tell you specifics about what's broken, but this is establishing trust. You told them there would be a survey. They got a survey. It was kind of cute. Another thing you can do is do a statement. So your first day statement can be, I had a good day today. And then a slider scale with an anything else you'd like to add question. Then your questions move on to match the parts of onboarding and what they should have learned so far, because you've laid out, you know, a decent onboarding program. So because you likely have some kind of structure in place. And if you don't, listen to this next section. These are the kind of sections you need to have in place. Questions will become things like, and I just said question, it could actually be a statement with a slider scale. So a statement could be, I can easily explain what our company does to my friends and family. If at the end of onboarding, or if at the end of this day when they should have learned this, if they say very negatively that they can't, something's missing. They're not catching the why of your company. They don't understand the greater vision, or you're asking them the question before they've been taught. So like, it's just time to get organized on the order of how they're learning stuff. Here are some other slider questions you would ask as the days go by. I understand why people buy our products or services. I have seen and understand how the product works. The information provided to me has been at the right level and pace for me to understand. I know who is on my team, the role they play, and how I fit in. I know where to go to ask questions and feel comfortable doing so, because guess what? It's not you. Unless they have a question about their 401k, which means that the 401k part of their onboarding is not good. Everyone needs to stop coming to you for questions. The better your onboarding is for that stuff that you hate to get nagged about, oh, this person needs their pay stub. Okay. Are you tired of being asked for that every 20 minutes? Something isn't right with how you onboarded your employees to find these own answers for themselves. Go back to your onboarding and make a slide that is like, this is how you get your pay stub. And then if it makes you that nuts, go do an onboarding survey or make one of the statements, I know how to get my pay stub. Okay? You see how it's all related? Yes, you're needed. And you probably enjoy some of being needed, but also you can't be everyone's mother hen. Not anymore. You can't afford to be interrupted for silly things that really just weren't taught correctly in the beginning. Most people are generally very smart and don't like to have to ask questions because they feel stupid too. As annoyed as you are, they feel dumb having to be like, I know we covered this really fast in my onboarding, but I need my pay stub because I'm buying a house. If they're capable of buying a house, how stupid do you think they feel that they're like, oh, how do I get my pay stub? So like, think about everything in the light of like, oh, they should have known how to do this. Something's not right with the way we taught them how to do it. So survey all throughout onboarding. Then after onboarding ends, in this example, let's say your onboarding takes 2 weeks. It might take a lot more. It might take a lot less. And you're like, oh my God, is mine supposed to take 2 weeks? No, remember, because you're supposed to be surveying. Your answer is not going to be the same as someone else's answer. So don't compare my example here to what you should be doing or that this is best practice. But say your onboarding takes 2 weeks. Survey them at the end and include a slider scale statement that says, I feel ready to jump in and do my job. You can also have an extra statement that's like, I feel excited to jump in and do my job. I think that's a good measure of like, they learned enough about the company and why it exists and their greater role. And also, it tells you if your onboarding was really boring and if they're like, I'm not excited. If your onboarding just was like dragging them slowly through hot sand. I don't know where these metaphors come from, you guys, but like, I'm just picturing dragging someone through the desert and they're like, oh my God, am I done? Can I like get on the camel now and go? These metaphors come from somewhere in the universe. I don't know where. That's just an indicator that they were bored. And you can inject fun into your onboarding program. Pingboard has this really fun flashcard game that helps new hires learn names and faces. You can also do a Pingboard scavenger hunt where there's employee profile, you know, specific information about people to help you get to know them. And you can give all your new hires like 20 questions like, okay, to break up all the learning, because it's hard to just learn, meeting. Hey, the first person to go through this wins a free lunch. I don't know. And then you surprise them and you're like, just kidding. You all get a free lunch. But then it kicks off this scavenger hunt in Pingboard. You can be like, who has a dog named Bluey? Who used to be a DJ? Because they can search for these skills. And then they're like, oh, this person on the product team that I didn't know existed. Oh, this person on the marketing team that I didn't know existed. And then when they eventually meet these people, either virtually or see them at the all hands or your town hall, they're like, oh, that person was in my scavenger hunt. And then that person, you can drive engagement because then they'll reach out and be like, oh, you're the one who has a dog named Bluey. I have the same breed of dog as you. And they're like, And it's like, well, you were in the scavenger hunt. And then the person's like, I was in a scavenger hunt. Like, it's just everybody wins. So there are ways for you to make onboarding fun and break it up. So I went on a tangent there, but survey at the very end of onboarding. Then you're not done. Because guess what? They actually don't know what was missing. They have no way of telling you until they jump into the job, which is why then you're going to survey them a month out, 2 months out, 3 months out. Then I would say 6 months and a year. The 6 month and a year one, you should even like include a message. You can do this from Pingboard or just state the purpose of it. And it's like, hey, now that you've been in your role 6 months, I know onboarding's really in your rear view, but you probably have a great idea of what was missing from your onboarding. And I'm hoping you can share that with me so I can make sure it's in there moving forward. Survey for onboarding for a year. Don't survey them every month, but like, do you see what I'm saying? There's like a gradual like, oh, I release you into the workplace, but also like, how's it going? How's it going? How's it going? How's it going? Like, if you're not watching on YouTube, you don't know what I just did, but like they're getting further and further in their employee journey with your company, but you should still be checking back and they can yell back and be like, oh my God, you never taught me this. And I had to teach myself, or I had to learn Salesforce in a vacuum and it was very uncomfortable and I got burned out. But you know, that's where you're going to figure out the really actionable stuff. So you're not done surveying for onboarding when onboarding's done. If you take that away from today, that's a good takeaway. Another, just here's some other statements you could ask as with the slider scale concept. So like, here's another one. My experience at this organization has matched my expectations. Oh man, if that's a low score and you put in like an anything else you'd like to add, open response section, that'll tell you maybe recruiting was off. That'll tell you maybe their manager is toxic AF and you had no idea and they need some management training. That might tell you that they weren't trained on any of the tools they were supposed to know how to use and they were thrown to the wolves and they felt scared and a little isolated and a little stupid, which is going to burn someone out too. I mean, that's a great one to be like, it's vague, but then it can go deep real fast. Another statement you can make in a survey post onboarding to see how engaged someone is I still feel like this is a great role for me. Okay. And if this is a negative thing, a negative score, please follow up. But this is a way to catch voluntary turnover or catch another broken or missing moment of your employee experience. That's like, either the person has imposter syndrome because they're not having regular one-on-ones with their boss, or the recruiting process was off because the way they were explaining the role and what they're being asked to do now does not match. Or maybe they're thinking about quitting and they're just not enjoying their time. I mean, their answer could be so many different reasons. Maybe they've just had a midlife crisis and realized they're not a CSM. They actually want to get into sales. And that's actually a good thing. That's like a skills thing. Just like someone's already onboarded and they wanted to move into another role and they already know about the company. Sweet. If there's an opening, move them. Keep them. Give them a shot. Holy cow. That person will be so engaged. Like, okay, you're going to take a chance on me? Then go backfill their role. Boo-hoo. You don't want to recruit a new person and lose them. So over time, you're going to start to get all this raw data where you can clearly probably start to see patterns. You're like, yeah, we don't really go into 401ks and everyone gets confused and bugs me about it later. Or everyone is saying they don't really understand how to explain our company. So we need to spend more time on the elevator pitch. And you know what? The CEO needs to do it, depending on your company size. Or we just need to make sure that we are role-playing people saying it to each other in that class. So it's fun and silly and you can be vulnerable and practice. You're going to start to see clear patterns in what to fix. Don't be scared of negative feedback. Lean into it. It is your saving grace to saving your sanity and your role. Because how bad do we all feel when we know onboarding could be better, but it's like, oh, I'll get to it one day and we all want it to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but it also will stay very bad if you don't get into a regular pattern, which automation can help with this, to survey your new hire classes at the right cadence and get compounding data. Then in a tool like Pingboard, you have this dashboard that shows over time how engaged classes were and how you made improvements and how the answers to questions improve over time. You show that to your CEO. That's how you prove that you're making impact. You layer on employee engagement scores across the company and how it improves over time. I mean, you can tell a great story around how you fixed an onboarding program, optimized the living bejeebies out of it, and now everybody went from an average engagement score of like, however you measure it, 6 out of 10, to now it's like an 8 out of 10. And you could very easily attribute some of that to a better onboarding experience because you're setting employees up to be engaged from the start because onboarding went through so many iterations. Also, ask for help. If you're overwhelmed and you're like, everyone says we need help with the elevator pitch. I don't have time to think about it. Go get your head of sales. Go tell your CEO. Your executives and your people managers are an extension of you. Go find the expert of that, because guess what? It's actually not you. You are not in sales. Although, of course, you should know your company's elevator pitch. Go get that person and be like, I need you to help me rethink this. Like, go partner with them or make them part of onboarding so that that problem gets fixed. And guess what? If they don't want to do it, kind of like too bad. Okay, what else do you suggest? Help me fix this part of onboarding. It's not all on you. Don't take it all on your shoulders. Get strategic about what parts are broken. Go find the expert, bring them in, be like, we got to do better. Here's my ideas. Let's hear your ideas. Then go to the CEO and be like, ha, look at how we are driving engagement and onboarding is getting better and better and better. And because you're not wasting brain space on like, oh shoot, I never surveyed that class another 3 months out. Ah, I'll do the next class. Like, no, find a way to automate so you're always getting the data. You shouldn't be thinking about having to do that for yourself. So surveys will set you free in all parts of the employee experience. That's how you drive engagement. You want to know how long onboarding should last? Your employees will tell you the answers without even knowing what they're doing. They're just giving you feedback on what's falling short. Keep optimizing. You'll get a dialed-in process, and then it's like, oh no. We get feedback all the time that employees felt prepared. They were ready to jump into their role. They were excited. It takes us, on average, 8 business days. You know? Like, your answer can be that specific. It takes us 8 days. There's no more of this 2 to 3 months, 2 to 3 weeks. Like, no, you will know because you are a boss and you are great at your job. And you're like, I have the data to prove all of this. So how long should onboarding last? I have no idea, but you will once you start surveying your new hires. If you'd like a template to see some new hire onboarding questions that I suggest you ask, not all at once, it's just going to be a laundry list of things you could ask. Go to the show notes and it will link out to a little document that I've made for you. You can make a copy and go pick and choose and figure out what makes sense to ask your people and in what order. And as always, find me on LinkedIn and let's start a conversation. You can talk to me, message me, connect with me. I'm always talking about the things that are making you nuts every day and I want to help you think about it differently and I'm here to help. So send me a message. Tell me what you liked about an episode, reshare my post so more people can find it. But if you want to review me on the platform that you listen to this podcast on, I would love that too. But thank you for listening to the show, and I will talk to you soon.